game. Jerry, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. You guys doing all right?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Lowe took a beating earlier on the beef line, but we won't revisit that for the current moment. What is it like?
What you mean he took a beating?
Jerry, they rough on me over here, man. It's rough.
What was the exact line?
You know I got your back. Come on, you know I got you, man.
Jerry, they intimated that he has a forehead that may be concealing a grilled cheese sandwich in it.
Jerry, don't laugh at that, brother. See that?
I thought I'm so sorry, but that's a good one.
We thought so too, Jerry.
Oh, my God.
I thought you had my back, Jerry.
Wow, they're tough over there. I still got your back.
Yeah, my way back. Yeah.
Oh, Jerry. All right, so what's it like? Let's talk about Thursday night. You know, two teams a bit down on their luck, two teams that have struggled this season and gone through some adversity. They take the field at Levi's Stadium. We'll start with the Niners. To put on that type of performance, what did you think of the young quarterback, Nick Mullins?
Oh, Nick Mullins, he was just unbelievable. And it's almost like, you know, I don't like to compare people, but just to see his composure on the football field, it was almost like Jimmy G. And the guy, he was so intelligent, and he was looking the defenders off. He knew exactly where he wanted to go with the football. And, you know, to see that first score for Pierre Garçon, you know, I was happy to see him catch the ball and get into the end zone. But, you know, Nick was just unbelievable, and he showed a lot of composure on the football field.
Were you shocked at a guy for the first time stepping on the center in a regular season, not just the poise, but the knowing where to go with the ball? What was the biggest thing you took away from his starting performance?
I think the biggest thing that I took away, Lowe, it was that this guy, the players, they like him. The guys feed off him. And, you know, they were making plays all over that football field. And for me, when Kettle catches the ball, he reminds me of someone. Because whenever I caught the football, I'm thinking score. And you can tell by the way he's running with the ball, you know, a lot of physicality and stuff like that. He wants to get in the end zone. But, you know, just watching this team and watching them sort of find an identity and to play for each other. And they had a great showing Thursday night against the Raiders.
What does it say about this team, the leadership inside the locker room, that they are still playing as hard as they are and scratching and clawing for victories, even though the season appears to be lost?
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, the expectations of, you know, because Nick, I think he didn't know exactly that he was going to start. Then he got the nod. And the way he dealt with that, you know, I think Richard Sherman, you know, he done added so much to this team. But, you know, guys, you have to be on the football field and you have to set the standard. You have to be that leader by, you know, being on the football field. And unfortunately, you know, he done had some injuries, but still, I'm sure he's, you know, he has a voice in that locker room. And they just got to continue to work hard, you know, even though the season is I'm not going to say it's over, but they still have a lot that they can accomplish this year. And they started it, you know, with the Raiders Thursday night. Then now they got the Giants coming up, I think, Monday night.
Yeah, that they do. Jerry, there was a time when you saw the defense, 8 sacks on Thursday night. What was that about? Was that just a lack of want to, when you're talking about one of the most highest paid offensive linemen in the NFL, the Raiders, you know, was that just a want to? How was they able to, you know, accomplish that task, you know, playing on Thursday, getting 8 sacks, the most sacks they've gotten all year?
I think offensive wise and also, you know, defensive wise, once you get that chemistry and you feed off each other, all of a sudden, you know, and you get, you know, you get that momentum going, and then there's that rivalry and stuff like that. I have never seen that defensive line, you know, attack the way they did Thursday night. And now maybe it was because the Raiders are having problems with their offensive line and they're not blocking well, you know, for Derek Carr and all that. But just to see that defense step up like that, it was exciting to see. And now these guys can feed off each other, you know, offensive-wise and defensive-wise, and get ready for the next battle.
Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. On the flip side of the equation, there were the Oakland Raiders just trying to get through 60 minutes of football on Thursday night. What do you make of that team's body language and overall performance? At least one 49er player told the media after the game he thought the Raiders quit by the end of the first half.
Well, my thing is that when I watch a team, and I watch a team that is going through some adversity, I look at the sideline. I want to see what the players are doing, how they are communicating with each other. And what I saw from the Raiders, it was very disappointing, because when you're losing a football game and you get in your butt handed to you, you shouldn't be smiling on the sideline. And I'm sure that's something that, you know, John Gruden, he's going to go back. He's going to look at that film, and he's going to look and see what's happening around, that sideline when the ball game is going on. And he's going to make some adjustments. He's probably going to maybe get rid of some people. And because, you know, when you lose in a football game, it's just no way you should be smiling, you know, because I was always one of those guys that if we were losing, I was real upset. I was getting up in guys, you know, faces and stuff like that and trying to get them going.
Jerry Rice here on 95.7 The Game. So as John Gruden looks to rework this team, how challenging is it to do that midseason? We know he cut Bruce Irvin over the weekend, yet, as you mentioned, some guys are in there laughing when they're losing. How hard is it, and how can he completely try to overhaul this thing in the middle of the year?
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're trying to position themselves, for the draft now. I'm not going to say they're throwing the towel in, but, you know, they're getting rid of pieces of the team that probably might have been a distraction for the team. You had guys not living up to the expectations, and I think that's the reason some of these guys are being cut right now. But I think with the Raiders, they're getting ready to position themselves for some great draft choices, and then after that, you know, they're going to just go back and try to have a great season next year.
Jerry, I understand that, you know, teams and coaches have to trim the fat and make tough decisions in order to build for the future. If that's the case, like you're saying, if the Raiders are doing that, why aren't the Niners doing that? When you look at their record and you look at the way that they perform, there's a lot of guys underachieving. Why aren't they cutting fat? Why aren't they trimming stuff? What's going on in that situation?
Well, I think and to be honest with you, with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they have a plan here. And, you know, this year with Jimmy G, you know, with all the injuries they have had, they have gone through a lot of adversity, and they feel like they got players in there that can be competitive and that can win football games. But, you know, Lo, you got to have some luck on your side. You got to stay healthy. And when you lose a quarterback like a Jimmy G or something like that, it's tough on the team.
Sure.
But this team is still somehow trying to find a way to battle, and it's going to be up to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan to get more draft choices in and really add on to this football team, because one guy can't do it. It got to be a collective group of guys, and if they can do that, then hopefully next year they can come back and have a great season.
Jerry, yesterday in the Saints-Rams game, before the game, Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas went to a liquor store and bought two disposable flip cell phones. He showed up at the stadium early. He hid one under each goalpost in the hopes that he could score a touchdown and reenact the famous Joe Horn play from 2003. He got his opportunity. He played very big in that game. Did you see it, and what do you make of that type of celebration?
Well, you know, there's a lot going on with celebrations now. And back in my day, we couldn't do that. But I thought it was pretty cool, to be honest with you. You know, after he really put the nail in the coffin, he ran and he pulled up the little whatever that the end zone little back and stuff like that, and he got on his phone and he started to make a call saying, "Hey, look, you guys are done." But, you know, that was just something that I did not think of. Back in the day, I just wanted to hand the ball to the official, but now it's like, you know, these guys are planning end zone celebrations and stuff like that, and the league is okay with it.
Have you ever thought about what you would do if you were allowed to have an elaborate end zone celebration?
No, because so much goes into that, guys. It has to be almost like draining, because it's like you're always trying to come up with something different. But these guys are having a good time with it. Maybe Joe Montana or Steve Young jump down on the ground and break dance or something like that. I don't know. Man, we old school and stuff like that. You know, we were just like trying to be real professional and act like we've been there before and just, you know, hand the ball to an official.
Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Now, I know over the weekend you had the private screening for the documentary that's coming out, In Search of Greatness, which follows you, Wayne Gretzky, and the great Pelé. We talked to Carmen Policy about a half hour ago regarding you and greatness, and here's what he had to say.
But when you pull Joe aside privately, without Jerry listening, he will tell you that when you talk about greatness, he personifies it. He's not only an amazing talent, he's an amazing human being in terms of what he's capable of not only accomplishing but pushing himself to do.
That's Carmen Policy speaking about your greatness and this documentary that's coming out. I mean, what's it like to hear that when it comes from someone like Joe Montana?
Well, it's just amazing because Joe and I, we had, you know, great chemistry on the football field, and we worked hard every day. And In Search of Greatness, you know, even put, you know, be up there with Wayne Gretzky or Pelé, it meant the world to me. But, you know, listening to these guys and, you know, tell their story, we all sound just alike. You know, Wayne Gretzky, he was not the fastest. And when I came out, I was not the fastest. But the thing that I had, it was my work ethic, and I had the heart to want to be the best. And, you know, it's a great documentary. I want everybody to go see it. It's playing at the Metreon, then it's playing at the Century 20, I think, in Daly City. So if everybody can go check it out, it's fantastic. Also in L.A. and New York. But Wayne Gretzky, he did a fantastic job. And Pelé, he did a great job. And we just had a great time. We told a story, and it's just all about the love of the game.
It's called In Search of Greatness. For those of you looking to check it out, and we highly recommend you do so. Hall of Famer, 3-time Super Bowl champ, 13-time Pro Bowler, and 95.7 The Game contributor, Jerry Rice, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, guys, one thing in parting. Think about this. Nick Mullins gets a call from Brett Favre. That's amazing. I mean, because, you know, I have done a lot of work with Brett, and to get a call from him, it's probably meant the world to that guy. And he's going to continue to work hard because of what I have heard about him is that when the lights in the stadium was like empty, he would go in that stadium and he would go through all the plays that they had ran during that football game. So this guy is totally dedicated to the game. He wants to be one of the best. He wants to succeed. And I think he's going to continue to work hard.
Surprised you didn't call him, Jerry. That would have mean him probably even more. You know, thanks for thinking about your Niners, huh, Jerry?
I'm going to tell you, man.
How you like that on the way out? Yeah. You're talking about my grilled cheese head? So, okay. Thank you, Jerry. You should have called him. Brett Favre has to call before you, and you supposed to be the GOAT of San Francisco? Really, Jerry? Really? Bye, Jerry. I'm sorry. We're all out of time.
Trying to get back at me now, Lo. But you know what? I got thick skin, brother. And the thing, too, hey, Lo. The thing about Nick Mullins, he throws a beautiful ball, man. I could catch that ball like you know, all day long.
Great stuff, Jerry. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Man.
I had to get him.
You tried to crop dust
him
on the way out.
Hit him with that duster. What was that? Oh, yeah. I got you. I got you.
And you tried to hit him with Joe's line. I'm sorry. That's all we have time for.
I was going to allow it if they wanted to send it. And then I was like, I don't know. It's Jerry Rice.
Yeah, it's tough. The GOAT, you know, man.
Especially coming from old grilled cheese
forehead.
Whoa,
whoa. You know what?
Sorry. We're out of time. You know, too much time. Jerry just really was elaborate today. Jerry Rice and Damon Bruce, a one-hour sit-down. Damon Bruce and Jerry Rice Wednesday. Wednesday at 5 p.m. So mark that down. Wednesday at 5 p.m., a one-hour sit-down between Damon Bruce and Jerry Rice right here on 95.7 The Game. Now, a question for you. If the Warriors could deliver you one of the following, which would you want? A 16-0 perfect run through the postseason that ends in a championship, or a perfect 41-0 regular season? That's coming up next. Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
great to have you with us today. The Saintly One, Gary St. Jean, in 9 minutes at 8:30. We'll also visit with Anthony Slater today at 9:30. And we've got a very serious Warriors conversation to get into in just a moment. But first, every day for 4 years, Anna has told me what national day it is.
Almost every day.
Virtually almost every day for 4 years. I have ignored it because I don't know how I'm going to work national sprinkles on your ice cream day into the program. But today she once again brought the national day to the forefront. And I thought, this actually has a place on this program. Today is what national day?
Today is National Love Your Red Hair Day.
No.
Look at that.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
How about that?
It's a day to celebrate the beauty of those with gorgeous red tresses.
Whoa. Oh, you don't have gorgeous red tresses. You have red scraps.
I guess you're right. I could grow it out and they would be.
Anna wanted to bring it into the program, so we brought it into the program.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks
you're
a
welcome,
lot, Anna.
Daniel Tibley.
Maybe 8 years ago when I actually had hair. What's funny, if you look back at, and I've been on this program now for 2 years and about 2 months, I had so much more hair before I started working with the three of you.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a downright, almost a mullet. You guys, you've taken it out of me.
The worst part of the breaks we have is that if you go to the restroom and you look at yourself, and I'm talking about myself, the way I wear the headphones, it exposes the ever-growing bald spot I have.
Oh.
And then you go in there and the hair gets pushed back and you see it in the thing and you're like, I'm not getting any younger. Not getting any younger.
And you add in the fact that we're all trying to go Movember. And, you know, Lo, you have a nice goatee and you have an ability to grow facial hair, but.
Nice and sharp.
I don't know what you and I have going on. I don't even know what I would call it, but.
This is an embarrassment, what I have. Yours is at least kind of subtle the way it's far more. So this is.
Your mustache coming in strong, though. Your mustache.
When I actually shave around the mustache, chisel away the marble that is the Statue of David, you will eventually get one of the all time great mustaches.
No,
I believe that when the month is over and the voting takes place, I will be awarded greatest station mustache.
Do you have any certain plans that you can share? Or is it all be a surprise?
Yeah, it's going to be a mustache.
Okay.
There's the plan.
There's the plan.
Breaking news, National Mustache Day coming up in a few days.
There are different style mustaches.
Yeah. I wanted to go with the handlebar, but right here, it's a little thin. A little thin. So I wasn't going to be able to pull that off, and I didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah, I got patches of Houlihan over here.
No patch.
Are you going for anything? Are you just throwing the whole
I'm throwing the whole thing until I have something that can actually be highlighted. But
do you do?
Well, I'm going to be looking at a reverse Hitler because I have no ability to grow hair in the middle. So I just go on the outside.
At least it's reverse
Hitler.
If you look it up, I'm not trying to advocate for the man. I'm saying the stash.
It's a reverse. You're not actually going with the Hitler.
Correct.
You're going reverse Hitler.
It's a shabby mess.
But you're anti-Hitler. No, you're okay.
You named it right. Your patch. So you're
patches.
Good. Patches. Yeah.
It's awful.
So it happens.
I mean, shout out
Rough
Movember
day.
And for doing it for charity. But
that's right. That's why we are doing this.
You look and it's November 5th and you realize I can't shave this mess for another 4 weeks. It's going to be a long, long month of sleeping on the couch.
You could have your Christmas tree up with this.
That's true.
Yeah, it could be worse. You eventually get to shave that. I don't know if he can remove the grilled cheese from the forehead.
Oh, that was funny, hun, Dibs.
It's a great Monday. So much. It's Material Monday is what it is.
Material Monday.
At least I felt good that I got Jerry on the way out. I got him.
Ooh, you cropped us as a goat.
Oh, I got him.
That
if
was
you
tough.
Want to hear that, check out the podcast at radio.com.
I believe
you can find all of our podcasts, radio.com.
Radio.com.
You can check out that. And remember, Wednesday at 5 p.m., a one-hour sit-down conversation as Damon Bruce will be speaking with Jerry Rice right here on 95.7 The Game. Now, before the Saint comes up in 5 minutes, I wanted to ask you this question because our boy Tamir kind of floated a version of this to me via text message a little while ago when we were talking about the Warriors. I figure we'll mash it all together and see what comes up. Damon kicked around the idea like 3 weeks ago before the basketball season started that if he could see anything this year, he'd want to see the Warriors go 41-0 at home. Last year at Oracle, it'd mean something special. You thought, yeah, that's not, there's no way. Quietly, they're 5-0 at home. They're 9-1 on the season. They're looking really good. You know they always, like a great band, always have a couple surprises in store for you over the course of the season. And the more I watch these games at home, the more I realize that right now, you have this great debate taking place in Boston between the 2004 Red Sox and this year's Red Sox, which is the better team. And the 2004 team broke the curse of the Bambino, brought a lot of emotion and sentiment to that championship. But this team, many believe who follow the team closely, this team is a more well-rounded team. This is a better baseball team. When we look back in 20 years on this Warriors run and we have the luxury of comparing championship runs, championship seasons, playoff series, where would something like that rank? 41-0 to close out Oracle is as gangster as it gets. So what would you rather have? Because this is where Tamir comes in. He said he'd rather have a 16-0 playoff run. Sweep four teams through the playoffs, hoist the championship. Would you rather have that? Or would you rather have the 41-0 regular season?
41-0 I'd much rather have. And I think that's more likely than 16-0 because you look at 16-0 and what did we complain about last year as we were reaching for things to complain about? These opening series were worthless. There was really no point in any of it until you got to Houston and then you had real intrigue. I want to have a little bit more drama. So give me a postseason where you've got to face a good team in the first round, in the semis, in the conference finals, and then you know there's a good team in the East waiting. The East is better than it's been top to bottom, as you guys were saying, than it's been in years. So for me, there's more intrigue in the playoffs if they actually lose some games. 41-0 is something that we could milk all year. If they're 25-0, 27-0, you know, when you start looking at the schedule, what team might be able to beat them at Oracle, I'd rather see them go 41-0 at home.
41-0 at home. Are you in the same boat, 41-0 or 16-0 resulting in a title?
Give me the 41-0. That would be unprecedented. No one's done it. I think the best has been, you know, 40-1. I mean,
two teams
have
Spurs
done
did
that.
It in 15-16.
That's pretty amazing. I just think that the way, because they are leaving and heading to San Francisco, if they could pull that off, that would be unbelievable.
Why don't you up the ante then and say 41-0 at home and then also go undefeated at home in the postseason? Close it out.
So what would be the debate, though?
No debate. I'm just saying. Just close
it out.
Oh,
you want them to go 41-0 at home and then win every home playoff game
correct.
As well?
Yes.
Jeez. I'm a bit greedy. Yeah. I would say a bit greedy.
Well, that's because I'm a Warriors fan.
Well, this is
so
a show
now.
That plays itself. I just want to see a win over Memphis tonight. Y'all are in here talking about 41-0
sure,
and all this
right.
chaos and winning 10 titles in a row. I'm just trying to get by Memphis.
It's amazing, though. The Warrior fans, you all are just like, it's not even hypotheticals. It's almost reality that it could happen. And that's what's so scary and alarming, that so many of these this fan base is here is just so spoiled that how dare you guys with the audacity to talk about 41-0. I mean, think about
it's that. It's the audacity of hope. Barack Obama. Thank you, Obama.
Is that one of his phrases?
Yeah,
the audacity of hope.
That was his book.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken,
nice.
Correct me if I'm
that
wrong.
Nice
in the
pull.
Back, but
that nice pull. That was nice.
Thank you.
What do you have to say to that?
He came over the top. He was like, "Okay, I've been coming over the top."
Why don't
so
you
he,
do your Obama.
Thank you, Obama. I just think that for you Warrior fans, for so many of us to just be talking about, can this team go 16-0 in the playoffs and 40-0 and 41-0 at home. Think about what we're saying here.
I know. Guys. Anna was quite snobbish there.
Yes. I admit it. Yes.
I don't blame you. What do you have to root for baseball wise? What do you have to root for football wise? Hockey wise, Sharks aren't bad, but it's a long way from possibly getting back to the Stanley Cup final. The reality is, I think you have, I wouldn't say you have the right, but you suffered through enough as a Warriors fan for so many years that now you have this greatness in front of you. What are you supposed to debate? Honestly. Take gambling out of the equation. What do you talk about with tonight's game? They're 14-point favorites. Can Steph hit 15 threes? That's actually a reasonable conversation to have tonight.
Can three players have 40 in the same game? I mean, you start to look at angles, honestly. Is Sean Livingston's absence going to devastate this team?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The idea of a 41-0 regular season, amazingly, it's not that unrealistic of a conversation to have.
And if you look at the schedule and you see at home, they only have three back-to-backs. And Joe, you and I talked about this before the show off the air. The schedule that the NBA gave them in general is pretty darn friendly and pretty generous. Not a lot of long stretches. They don't have any six-game road trips. Not a ton of back-to-backs. So it seems like it's built for this team to succeed.
But what has that got to do with anything? That's the thing that I'm sitting here over here just...
It's got everything to do with everything.
No one does it! My God, this is the best team in the NBA.
What if it has you guys, everything to do with nothing? Combine the two picks.
Yes, exactly. It has nothing to do with nothing. Exactly. You guys are sitting here talking about a team that could go undefeated at home.
Sure.
You guys are talking about a team that can go 16-0 in the playoffs. Sure. I mean, I just had to help you out. I mean, as I digest. I mean, think about what we're doing here.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
We're doing radio, and you got a pile of what appear to be
sunflower seeds.
What a mess.
Yeah, that's a pro move over there.
Because I'm trying to get to Satan, and you're still talking. So, yeah, I'm going to call out the
Okay, so I won't say anything.
I'm out of words, guys. I'm out of words.
You got to stop.
Warriors analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. He's part of the 95.7 The Game family. Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Saint. How does this Monday morning find you?
Monday morning's great. Warriors are rolling. We had a parade last week at Fenway Park, and the Patriots won last night. So life is good.
Saint, we're going to bring you into a ridiculous conversation we were having this morning, but in reality, is it that ridiculous? Is it that ridiculous to think about the Warriors going 41-0 at Oracle this season?
Well, it could happen, but I'm going to tell you, the NBA season is a marathon, and there's going to be some injuries. There's going to be some rest, and you may not be at full strength. Maybe you've come off a rough road trip. Sometimes you come off a road trip and the first game home is like a road game. And they're going to have nights maybe where they don't shoot well. But I will say this. They're clearly the best team in the league. And you guys have talked about it. And the key will be sustaining good health. And I just really, we need to enjoy the way this team is playing right now. They're different than last year. Last year, the beginning of the year, the defense wasn't sharp. They weren't locked in. They were careless with the ball. You know, we're seeing Steph Curry play at an amazing level. We've seen amazing games from Kevin and from Clay, and you can't go to sleep on Draymond Green, what he's doing right now. Talk to me about who's a power forward that's playing better than him. I have a lot of respect for Kawhi Leonard, but this guy's amazing on the defensive end, and he's the key, because when you get stops, you get in the open floor, and that's when they look like that beautiful team.
Yeah, and he really looks like he's focused not solely on the defensive end, Saint, but he's letting his defense turn into offense for everybody. He's not really forcing the issue on the offensive end. I want to ask you about Steph Curry and what you thought about maybe not necessarily an MVP push, but do you think it's in the back of his mind, all the talk about MVP and at the start of the year how he wasn't really much of a candidate? Is that a motivating force for him?
Well, each year I think players sit down with themselves and think about what they can achieve in that year, and why not? I've got five guys. I've got Kevin Durant and him. I've got Anthony Davis. I've got Leonard. And, you know, those four are real clear to me. And, you know, do you want to put LeBron in there? You could. You know, I'm not going to. You know, it's... You know, Embiid, I don't think so. The Boston guys, Kyrie Irving, I don't think so. You know, so it's going to be a great year in regard of the stars. And you got to give some respect to winning. That to me, really factors into all of this.
Saint, you go around the league and you look at Anthony Davis and you saw the guy come in here and play. And at times you can put an arm on him and push him away from the hoop.
Yeah.
And not necessarily let him go down there in the paint and post up. What's the difference? What is Boogie going to bring to this team once he's healthy? Can he be a guy that you necessarily can't push off the block? And is this a guy can show total domination? What would he do, and what is your imagination? Where does it take you what this guy could be for this Warrior team?
You know, you got you play tonight, you got 2 days off. We're in the beautiful Bay Area, and maybe Steve Kerr's just riding around the Bay Area just thinking about, how am I going to use the big fella? And, you know, I can play him in the low post. I can play him at the elbow. He can shoot the three ball. Not only can he score, he's a terrific passer. He's what I call a position rebounder. He's not going to go up and pursue it on the other side of the rim, but what's in front of him, he gathers. I just think it's going to make the game easier for everybody because you can play through him. And that's just another piece that the other team's got to prepare for. And if you don't give him some special coverage on certain nights, he's just going to roll you over. So it's exciting. I'm happy for him that he's feeling pretty darn good. But they're not in a rush. They're going to take their time. I just don't want to see him get thrown out any more games. I think he learned a lesson there. And I was worried about he was going to lead the league in technicals in a three-piece suit. but I'll tell you what, he's going to be neat to watch. And it just brings you some intrigue as to what happens when we get to the holiday season or after. You know, is he going to be ready to go, and how's it all going to fit? I think the guys are really feeling terrific about him.
Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. I was watching you, Pop, and Kalena talk about him after the game on Friday. I wanted to bring it up today. Alfonso McKinney. I mean, he has just been a heck of a find for this team. And Friday night, he played some very big minutes for the Warriors in a really fun game against Minnesota.
Well, guys, you know what? I love stories like this. This is really, really special. It gives you hope. And when you look at yourself and you say, can I make it? You know, and I hit the bump in the road. I don't make it this year. And I go and play in Europe, or I go play in South America, or I go play in the G League or wherever. And you still believe in yourself. And, you know, he was founded by a guy named Randy Brown, who played for me up in Sacramento, who's a great guy, who's an assistant with the Bulls. And, you know, when you look at this guy, first, he's got character. How I just smiled when I heard about him signing the papers for his mom, buying her a house. I mean, this guy's won me over just by doing that. Then he gets on the court, and what is he? He's about 6'7", maybe 6'8", long, lean, quick jumper, runs the floor, defends. And I look at this guy, and he stays within himself. Don't try to be something different than who you are. And that's a big thing in the NBA. So he's there every night defensively. He'll get you some rebounds. But then the icing on the cake, he has the confidence right now, because when you play with those four superstars, you're going to be wide open. He's in the corner in front of the Minnesota bench. He knocks down that huge three. This is a great story. Him and Jerebko have really brought a lot to the bench. And, you know, I can't tell you that anybody knew that this was going to happen. And so it's really brought a lot of depth to the team.
And it's probably sent a bunch of scouts over to Luxembourg to scout second division basketball, Saint, because that's where the young man plied his trade. Does this speak to a need for the G League perhaps to do a better job of developing guys and keeping guys at home, because you had a player go to Luxembourg and make it all the way back? Do we need to do a better job of propping up the G League to make it a true minor league?
Yeah, but you know what it is, Dibs, is they got the shot to go over there and make a lot more money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got Lowell tell you, you're like an actor or a singer, you've got a shelf life. How many years you're going to play? And so if it doesn't work here, you go over there. And there's been a lot of guys I know that have gone over and played 12, 14 years and put themselves in a very nice position. But, you know, you come back home and you want to be home. You know, so he's a Chicago kid and, you know, goes back home last week. And imagine how all his friends felt. He played terrific there. We had a guy years ago. I don't know, Lo, I don't know where you were playing. And we had a guy named Mario Elie that we brought up from the D-League. And he played in like five or six countries. And we didn't get him till he was 27. And he was a glue piece when we had Mully and Mitch and Timmy, and grew up in New York City. So he leaves us and he goes on and gets a couple championships in Houston. But you're talking about these guys that are gritty, that are tough. And they don't have a lot to say. They let their play on the court speak for themselves.
No question, Saint. You've seen how my man was bagging groceries, Kurt Warner, and the Rams brought him.
That's another great story.
Absolutely. And it's just, Saintly, you hit the nail on the head talking about the opportunity, Saintly. When you think about opportunities, never lost. It's just given to someone else. So when this happens, what does this do for Patty McCall when you see a guy playing as well as he does? What does this do for a young man? And how do you reach a guy like this and say, son, what are you doing to your future? How do you reach a guy like that, Saintly one?
Well, we just went on a couple minutes on the positives. I just feel terrible for this young guy. And listen, you go as a young guy and you seek out advice. Can be from family, friends, agents, other players. And I don't know firsthand who he's getting his advice from, but I think he's made a mistake. I really do. And I'll say this about the Warriors. If, in fact, he wanted to come back, I think they'd open the arms and let him come back. Lowe's going to tell you guys, this is a business.
Sure.
And they have to be judicious.
No question.
So they're not going to give him a multi-year deal because they've got to keep space for Kevin, for Clay, for Draymond as we move forward. And frankly, as nice a player as he is, what would you guys say? He's ninth or tenth on the depth chart? So with that said, when you're in the NBA or you're in professional sports, we use the phrase leverage. Who has leverage? Mm. Sometimes a player has a great run. You win a championship. He's a free agent. You want to give him 2 years, but he comes knocking at the door and says, I want three. And I can get three from somebody else, and you want to keep your core together. And in this case right here, he doesn't have leverage. So I feel for him, but, hey, we're only 10 games in. He can have a change of heart. He can come in, and I think he's got a really nice future.
Warriors analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. He's part of the 95.7 The Game family. The great Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. St., we always appreciate the time, and more specifically, the optimism. Thank you for brightening up our holidays.
You guys make my day.
Thank you, St. We appreciate it. They're doing a hell of a job with the pre- and post-game this year. Are they spending more time at Oracle? Set looks different. I think they're really, you know, there's a real nice push from NBC Sports Bay Area going on behind that. The optics are nice. Buki looks nice.
Yeah.
Slim in the waist. Was it pretty in the face? Slim in the waist?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hawks
That's
out
it.
There dominating.
Yeah, they are.
Mike Brown joined them before the show Friday night. It was a good show Friday night.
Why wouldn't it be when you got a product like you have? I mean, look what we can have success. When you have players and coaching staff and organization, Joe, you always say it starts at the top. From top to bottom, this organization's classy. They win with class. They want winners. They got winners. They want championships. They got championships. They want players that can get out and do it. They got players that can get out and do it. And they're doing a great job. I'm really just grateful and thankful that we're able to be around these great superstar players that they have. We're able to walk over to the Oracle Arena and be able to go to the different games and be in the back and go in the locker room. It's pretty amazing, our jobs. And we're getting to witness something that doesn't come around often. This does not come around often. You go through many of franchises, they wish they had the opportunity to sit where we sit. They wish they had the opportunity to do the things that we're doing. This organization right now is just on fire.
That is a great commercial right there. It's a great commercial.
Yeah, click and roll at warriors.com for all your ticket needs. I'm Lorenzo Neal, and I'm a big fan of the Warriors. Now, that was great, and I think what you said is spot on about appreciating.
Sane will handle the positivity. We'll handle the negativity. It's back to business, sir. It's back to business.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a good team, Lo. They're a good team. Click and roll, warriors.com. Yeah.
I want to jump back into it in a second.
Please.
But for just a moment, a brief pause, a moment of silence for Las Vegas sportsbooks. They lost combined between $7 to $10 million this weekend. The public hammered them. Score one for the good guys. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Get your money.
In your
get
face.
Get your money out there. Yeah. And while we're at it, special shout-outs to Fresno State covering yet another again. Number. Jeff Tedford, since returning to the Bulldog sideline, 19-3-1 against the spread. Do I got a dog in the house? I didn't ask for anything else. Just wanted the barking.
While we're doing shout-outs.
Shout it all out, baby.
Beat the bookie 7-2, coming off an 8-1. The kid is 15-3 over his last 2 weeks.
Get to where you want to get. Come
put
on.
Kids through college. Put them through college.
No,
that's
we're getting there.
You know where he's trying to
baby
do.
Baby steps.
Yeah, but we're going to take our time and enjoy the shout-outs because, you know, I'm pretty sure there was a big win in the Big Ten this weekend.
There was a huge win.
Purdue took down Iowa.
Boiler up.
Shout out. Little Hammer low.
Down.
Another nice performance. See, we're just trying to shout things out.
That's
you
a
can
second
shout something out if you like.
Second win over a ranked team. That's big time for Little Low.
He's showing his paper the whole time, Joe. This guy's holding up papers and trying to derail me. And I knew where he was trying to go. But anyway, Fresno State, Joe, for the first time, I think in as long as I can remember, they finally have a defense to go with that offense. They are one of the better teams in the country. They should be in the top.
They're in the top 25. They're starting to get their respect.
They should be higher. With the defense they have, they got like six or seven guys that can play on Sunday. Can you please stop with the paper?
It is a bit distracting. Yes. We are professionals here.
Oh, yes, yeah, we are professionals. How are those seeds going over there? Talking about pros. Pros versus Joes, apparently. Yeah. Anyway, you were saying.
That's all I have. Anyways.
They are a good team. It is fun to watch them. All jokes aside, Shout out the Bulldogs. And shout out Little Lo and Purdue. And shout out the 21st birthday.
Yeah.
How'd he celebrate?
He had a shot of crown, Joe.
Shot of crown royal.
Yeah, shot of crown royal.
Classy young man.
He said, Dad, that burned. I said, why go with crown? Why not with something soft and gentle? Why crown?
Why not a rum and coke? Yeah, like, start with something easy.
Yes. He's like, I just had one shot, Dad. That was it. And I was like, done. I didn't want it. It tastes burnt.
Crown. It's like gasoline.
Right.
First time you drink hard alcohol, it's like gasoline.
Good way to keep him from becoming a regular drinker, though. Go ahead and go straight to the hard stuff. It burns like gasoline, and I don't want that anymore.
I open with beer, and I love alcohol.
Yeah seriously.
Oh, and he's good, too.
Dude, wine coolers, bottles and jams in the mid-'80s.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, did anyone, when they were younger, does anyone know what garage hopping is? I don't know if the Chilton Auto Body text line is going to want to be sponsored in this way, but hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. All right, I'll share a story for you. Part of what I first drank in my life was wine coolers. Why? What we used to do, I shouldn't even admit this.
No, please.
It's like on weekends, we would drive around neighborhoods and look for open garages. And you'd look for an open garage that would have a fridge in it. And then what you do is you park down the street and you'd sneak in. And if no one was around, you'd open it. And if there were some beers, you'd grab a few beers and you'd run this far. I guess technically I'm admitting to burglary.
Yes.
I wasn't breaking in. I think burglary is breaking in, so this is probably just robbery. Not
statute of limitations, you're good.
Yeah, it's got to be a good 18 years, but it's called garage hopping. Yeah, you'd park down the street, you'd creep up, and you'd pop into the garage, you'd open the fridge, you'd see like a six-pack, you'd grab the six-pack, you'd take off down the street. But like you'd come across wine coolers. You come across a lot of things, Coach.
Somebody's milk. Hey, where'd that gallon of milk go?
All of a sudden, we're going to hear the news. There's going to be like a rash of this whole garage hopping now.
First of all, leave your garages closed. Let's just go ahead and do that. Let's just nip this in the bud. Second of all, this was a simpler time in America. Don't be doing this now. I shouldn't have been doing it.
You shouldn't have.
I'm curious to know how many people have like heard of that or done it. Was it no one in the Bay Area? You never heard of it? We're close to the same age.
I know. No.
Dibs, you?
I've done it.
No.
We funded many a party. Yeah. You'd show up with a cooler. Sometimes you just take the cooler and fill the guy's own cooler up with the booze.
Oh, my God.
No wonder why the movie Superbad resonates with you so much.
Yes.
You
know? Yes. That happens in Superbad when he dumps the guy's detergent out and fills it up with beer.
If this happened often, did you guys ever get chased?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple stories.
Yeah, okay, that's gotta be.
Personally, I was not involved in any of those, but there were two guys I know that got into like a full-on, full-on chase to where they ended up getting, they got in a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, I can imagine.
They're racing down the street and all this stuff. Some hero drove by and saw what they were doing and decided to insert himself into the conversation, chased him down the street, reported him, all that stuff.
So if somebody grabbed the Pliny from your refrigerator, what would you
do? It's on.
First of all, I know that each generation screws around a little bit, and you want to say that you'll be on to your kids. Now, there will be new technology and new ways of getting past the parents. I'm not going to assume I can shut everything down, but I'll be damned if I ever get garage hopped. There will be no fridge in my garage, and I will never open the garage. Well, I garage hopped so many houses back then, I could never allow that to happen to myself.
I'm putting a chain. I'm going to take one from your line, dude.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I'm going to put a chain around my fridge. Thank you for letting me know, because I leave my garage
open.
You
have a fridge in the garage?
Yes, I have two. One inside.
I am personally coming down to Fresno this weekend to garage hop you.
Oh, no.
Do you have any booze in there?
No.
Who took all my sharps, all my non-alcoholic booze?
There might be some old beer in there. There might be. But I'm coming down.
I'm going to garage hop you this weekend.
Why do you keep doing your paper? No one cares.
We were doing shout outs, and it all led up before Joe told that great story about garage hopping.
I don't know if it's great, but yes.
I enjoyed it. I'm just going to shout out the fact that I absolutely buried June Lowe versus Dibs, and they're thinking about stopping the fight. So there's that.
It was that bad?
It's normally like
one or two games. Yeah.
It's a three-pack. It's a three-pack.
How many games did you have different?
Dude.
We had five differences, and I went 4-1.
Denver didn't make the field goal to win the game.
Beat the bookie at Houston. Why'd you take Denver?
If you look at my paper, I actually went for the scribble switch at 8:45 because beat the bookie was on Houston. So that's quality listening by me.
Settle for the 51-yard field goal, Vance Joseph. First of all, press the action. Second of all, that idiocy cost them a field goal at the end of the first half, and that decided the game.
Yes.
Vance Joseph, man, he can't be trusted.
I mean, Lowe's been trying to get him fired for 4 weeks now, yet he found his way to pick Denver, which is quietly comical. And this morning, he's going on and on about Drew Brees for MVP, and yet Lowe took the Rams. So.
Yeah, he had the bookie also on the Saints.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and I'm.
Why are you fading your boy?
I wasn't. I just simply.
You faded Drew Brees.
It was the fact that Wade Phillips, a defensive great juggernaut of a guy, I think that their defense should play better. They didn't give up any points in the second half.
Sure.
They lost that game in the first half. But anywho, you know what? It was a great game. I got to see some great football. I'm fine, Dibs. I'm fine.
Down 10 with 8 weeks left to go.
This would be a hell of a comeback. If you could find a way to come back 8 weeks to go. This does not involve the playoffs. We do a separate thing for the playoffs.
Okay. Correct.
So it's 17
weeks. Just a regular season contest. And if this were a boxing match right now in between rounds, the cut man would be feverishly working on your boy over there. They'd have the iron on him trying to like cool down. You got a couple cuts right now.
Do you want to offer, would you take a surrender if he offered you a surrender?
No, I'm going to finish, Joe. I'm not a quitter. I want winners.
No one's asking you to quit. We're asking you to surrender.
Surrender. That's
I want winners.
That's quitting, Joe. I don't want to quit. I'm gonna keep my hands up. I'm gonna try to get through the rounds, Joe. I'm gonna hold him. I have to bite him. I might pull the Mike Tyson. I bite his ear off.
We're getting close to a cutting
this whole thing. Just about, a mess.
Right.
Like Conor, no one talked about Conor McGregor losing because the guy jumped into the stands and his boys jumped in the ring. Everyone's fighting everybody.
What the hell is going on with your boy Floyd Mayweather?
Floyd. Floyd's going to go fight some 20-year-old Japanese martial arts guy.
To watch him.
They announced it yesterday. It's some, I don't know what this is.
To watch him laying on his back is going to be funny. What the hell are you thinking?
I don't know if they're going to MMA fight, though. I think this is all a setup so that he can fight Conor in an MMA ring. That's what I think's coming. I think we all know it was a scam the first time around.
He
took it easy on Conor. Conor had to take a couple blows. Right. He got his $100 million. Floyd gets the win. Now they let enough time go. Floyd's going to go fight this like 22-year-old Japanese MMA guy over in Japan on December 31st. And if there's some MMA involved, this kid's on the take. Floyd's like, look, I'm going to get you paid. Okay, I'm going to get you paid. I got to win this, though. So this kid's going to have to take a dive. So Floyd ends up defeating him. And then Floyd and Conor will spend a year promoting they're going to fight in the octagon. And they'll get in there and they'll each get $100 million for this. And Conor will have to take it easy on Floyd, but Conor will ultimately beat Floyd.
So you think that this kid's...
Let me ask you something. Why would I believe any of this is real?
You're right.
What is your boy doing?
What is he doing?
Yeah, okay.
If Floyd really wanted a piece of it, he'd go after Khabib. But Khabib's not going to sit there and dance with him and let Floyd just make that money. But Conor's a willing partner.
If he wants to go make money, go fight our boy, the boxer. The freaking he won two weeks ago.
Crawford! Is he too big for Floyd?
No, go fight Crawford. Crawford's little.
Interesting. No. They're not in the same weight class, but I don't think they're that far off.
They can find a match. Exactly. And go get knocked out the real way.
He doesn't want that.
No. So why would he take this route, though? Go fight a guy that if you want to lose
free money. You get behind the scenes and he goes, look, man, we can make money without getting hurt. That's the beauty of this. Why take the risks to your pride and your body and your head when you could get in there, fake it for a while, and make a ton of money?
Okay, so the kid's going to let him knock him out because Floyd can't choke
you. I can't do this with you again. I did this with you for the last Mayweather thing for a year. I'm done.
All right,
Joe, they're competitors. Joe, they're competitors. Right, I know they're competitors.
Okay, you're right.
But they're also hustlers.
They're hustlers.
H-U-S-T-L-E-R, hustler.
This is straight hustle. I don't even have one. I don't, yeah.
You'll
don't
buy it. You know you'll no, buy it. I'll buy I it. Want, We're all buying it.
I'm not
Stop
buying
pretending.
This. I'm not buying this. Here's a joke.
There's two things you're going to do.
This is what I won't do. I refuse to do this.
You're going
to
buy this fight. You're going to get garage hopped this weekend. I'm coming down to Fresno. I'm personally garage hopping you this weekend.
We got guns down there in Fresno.
Well, you better be careful.
There is that.
Better be careful using those guns. Is this one of those states where you can fire upon intruders?
You come into my backyard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What about your garage?
You come into my garage.
Interesting.
I got that barking
dog.
Looks
like we got ourselves a little standoff here. Are you going to pull the trigger? Am I actually going to go through it?
I got that old barking dog. I'm like, if you got 5 seconds, you give your heart to Jesus, get your behind the knee.
You lapse right
in.
Get
out of here, you walk a barking dog. Why don't you say hello to my little friend? Freeze right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to get shot by you in Fresno. No, that's going to be a favorable jury for you. I have
my officer, Jim, right down the street, one house over. Cop, I'll just say, my boy Joe's coming over. I'll tell him to come arrest you. He will too. He just like come over and just grab you.
Arrest me for what? We're friends. I'll say I was invited. You've been inviting me down to Fresno forever.
Yeah.
So I'll use that invitation.
I should have known you were going to come right to rescue, Jimmy.
Easy,
Joe,
coach.
What do you want, Joe?
Coach
hey,
Sweeney.
Joe, I got you, Joe. Joe, I'm here for you.
We got
I
you.
Got you, Joe.
Coach, mark the tape. How many times has he said, you got to get you all down to Fresno? I mean, it's been an open door policy.
To steal my stuff, not to come in my garage and think you can have fun in my garage.
I got that old Desert Eagle.
What if I make you a deal?
All right, make me a deal.
I garage hop you, but while I do it, I steal your Christmas tree, and then you don't have to put it up anymore.
You can have it. There you go.
Where's the Christmas tree? Someone stole it from the garage.
Right, that'd be great.
The Grinch.
Done and done. Takes that right off your plate.
Driving down the street with a six-pack of Miller Sharps and a fake tree hanging out the back.
It's a 15-footer, so if you have fun, you better bring it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to need a good old-fashioned pickup truck for that thing.
So you have a 15-foot artificial Christmas tree that you pull out of the garage and put together in like six pieces?
Yes.
I didn't know they made them that big.
What is this, Rockefeller Center?
Dude.
Pretty much.
And that's giant because we have a normal like 6 or 7 footer, and it's not hard
to
put together.
That's still pretty big. That's still good
size. Yeah, but the hardest thing is storing it for 11 and a half months a year. It's figuring out where you're going to put it.
Yeah, we got 3 boxes in the garage. You break it down, put them in the garage.
Not anymore, you don't. Exactly. Not when I get down there.
Absolutely. Hey, come down. You got it. You can come garage.
The first guy to ever voluntarily allow someone to garage hop him.
No handy.
The worst part about the garage hop is when you get in there.
You got to be scared, though.
You see the fridge. Yeah. You get in. Oh, it's such a rush. You do it for the rush.
Yeah.
The rush is insane. Once there was a guy, I could see him through the screen door washing his dishes. And he had a six-pack of Corona. And it was just like, he's going to come walking out here to get that Corona. Because it was like Friday afternoon. He's probably finishing his dishes and then going for the Corona. Wasn't going to be there, Coach.
Oh.
Shouldn't have left that garage open. But the worst would be you come all the way in, you have it all figured out. You're parked, you're in, you got the fridge, and then you open it up.
Nothing's there.
Yeah. It's disappointing, because then you got to get the hell out of there with nothing.
What was the best thing you found,
a little bit faster.
What was the best that you found?
I can't talk about it.
No.
I found booze, and it was mostly wine coolers, to be honest with you. Show up at these parties, 50,000 wine coolers.
Cool, I can't believe cool that party. My wine cooler reference triggered this whole thing about garage hopping.
I remember that was one of the first things I was drinking underage, was wine coolers. And again, I don't advocate any of this.
No.
You should not do any of this. That's why I ended up in this room.
Happy birthday, Lil Lo, is how it all started.
Right. Happy birthday, Lil Lo. Stay away from the garage.
Doing it legally, mind.
Legally.
That big fella ain't going in nobody's garage. He know better.
He's not sneaking in anywhere.
I'll tell you a guy who's not going to need to do any garage hopping is a guy that is on pace for what some project will be a $320 million contract. The real question is whether or not the Giants have a legitimate shot of giving it to him. You know who we're talking about. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs with the championship rounds here on 95.7 The Game.
Greatness. What is greatness? Can you see it?
Just unstoppable.
Can you feel it?
Oh,
how does one become the greatest of all time? This Wednesday, Jerry Rice tells his story in his own words with Damon Bruce. Don't miss it. Wednesday at 5 p.m. on 95.7. The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.